much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
From Hollywood, KHJ Television presents Wink Martindale's Dance Party. Time now to enjoy a full hour of fun and merriment spotlighting the young people of Southern California.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
Look at this one. This is what we call emerald, but really it's more like a sea foam.
I love that color. That's such a happy, beautiful, rich experience.
It almost kind of looks like what the Earth looks like when you're a bazillion miles away from the planet moon.
Yes, I just squinted at it.
From the moon looking back at the Earth.
From the planet moon. From the planet moon.
Isn't the moon a star?
No, the moon is a planet, darling.
The sun is a star. Is the moon really a planet?
The moon is a planet.
Don't look at me like that. The sun is a star. Is the sun not a star?
I don't know what the sun is.
The sun is a star, isn't it?
The sun is.
The sun is a star.
And now.
I couldn't grow up because I died from an accident.
Fire beer mug.
Our feature presentation.
Still depressed about that commercial? I really am. I really am. By the way, last night on At Midnight, their hashtag war was because I died. Chip, did you get in on any of that action last night?
No, I did not, unfortunately.
That is a funny one. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 3rd of February. Still pretty depressed about the Super Bowl, too, by the way. Chip and I were talking about it earlier.
Yeah.
I imagine you are.
If you're going to play, I know we're going to talk about this today, but if you're going to go for a trick play just for fun, do that like on week two. You know what I mean? don't save that for the Super Bowl. Come on.
There is game management.
Yes.
Where you go, okay, maybe we like to mix things up so they don't know what's coming and all that, but we also want to run out the last 30 seconds and win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, risk reward. Exactly. Hey, welcome to Kevin and Bean Show for a Tuesday morning. It's been a while since we've done this, but I got a question for you guys, and that's, how does the story end?
How does the story end, my friend? How does the story end?
Sensitive Omar right there.
There is
my friend.
There's no more miserable time in the world than being on an airplane that is delayed. And you are sitting on the runway sometimes forever. And for whatever reason, I don't understand the mechanics of it. They can never turn the air conditioning on. That's not allowed, right?
Right.
So you're just sitting there. You're just broiling, and you have no idea how long you're going to be there, and you're worried about your connection or what you're supposed to be doing that day, and you're just sitting there, and you're just miserable, and tensions are running high, and no one's having a good time. Well, that's what happened on a U.S. Airways flight last month. It's in the news today. It was leaving Indianapolis and heading on its way to New Orleans. And it doesn't say in this article how long the flight was on the runway, but it sounds like it was a while. When a flight attendant, Carrie Mann, realized that there were four men in their 60s on the plane that had a particular set of skills, she asked them to do something that made everything all right.
What?
And the passengers couldn't have been more delighted. My question to you is,
how does the story end?
Is it important that they're in their 60s?
Yeah, that's a weird.
To this?
No, I'm just trying to kind of give you a clue of what kinds of passengers they were. It's just white, bald guys in their 60s.
Well, you mentioned that they never have the air conditioning on. So my guess is it would be something having to do with that. They got the air working or something.
What, you think they let passengers leave the plane and go do maintenance? I think they don't turn the air conditioning on. For airplanes.
Hey, don't mock me. I'm trying to figure out how the story ends.
I think they're a barbershop quartet.
You think they are a barbershop quartet?
And
because,
they sang.
Because this is 1959.
Lisa, thank you for making my answer look just anywhere near good.
In their 60s.
They are a barbershop quartet, I believe, is my answer as well.
All right, let's just for fun assume they're a barbershop quartet.
Okay.
What would the reaction in 2015 be for people on a plane if a barbershop quartet starts singing?
I'd like it because the barbershop quartet on Family Guy is always awesome.
That's right. Maybe they'd sing the AIDS song.
So maybe they'd sing
the AIDS song. That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
So four guys in their 60s, and they did something that made everyone happy.
Well, you got to fix the air conditioning. Okay. That's your guess. Lisa's got barbershop quartet.
They were able to open up the internet so everybody could get on their...
Oh, good thinking.
Could portal onto theirs, and everybody had Wi-Fi.
Oh, that is an interesting guess.
That's not bad. That's the only good guess so far.
Chip, what do you think?
I've only had the two guesses so far.
Gosh, I'm kind of at a loss.
Passenger asked them to do something that...
I mean, my first guess was Barbershop Quartet, too, but God damn it, Lisa.
Really?
Jump right in there.
No, why? How are you people even thinking of a Barbershop Quartet? Like, why does that even come to your mind?
She's kidding.
Four older guys singing.
What would they do that would entertain everybody? Are they musicians?
I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys the answer because otherwise...
Are we close?
The answer is they are a Barbershop Quartet, Lisa May.
No.
Wait a minute.
They are a Barbershop Quartet from Maine, and they sang, they're called Port City Sound, and they sang Under the Boardwalk.
Now in the park you hear the happy song of the carousel. You can almost taste the hot dogs and French fries.
And the flight attendant said everybody started videotaping it, and it made changed the whole complexion of the flight. It was such a great moment. The mood changed. Our passengers were awesome for the whole 5 hours they were on the plane. It's one of my favorite moments since I've been a flight attendant.
I'm calling BS.
No.
I'm Lisa calling May, BS. Ladies and gentlemen. Lisa
that.
May.
There's no way that was a guess.
100%.
Because I'm with B now. How do you think Barbershop Quartet?
Because he said they were in their 60s. It's four men. They're bald.
That was my hint.
Shop.
That was meant to be a
no, that's nonsense. You cheated.
I did not cheat.
BS, BS, BS. You shouldn't cheat at a game like this. Come on.
By the way, the video's up on YouTube. It's gone viral, of course. It's racked up more than 3.5 million views since being posted on January 7th. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how the story ends.
That's how the story ends.
Lisa May for the win.
Rock.
Yeah, I'm calling BS on that.
Stunning.
Let's talk about today's Kevin Amico, shall we?
Nancy, you are correct.
Thank you. Bachelor report on the program today.
Oh, yeah.
Ralph and Petros watch that faithfully so that we don't have to, and they recap it, and it sounds like a good deal of fun.
Bless them.
As long as we don't have to spend 2 hours each time watching it.
I saw from several listeners that the crazy came extra hard last night, too.
Love it. Love that. You found money. What did you do with it? Somebody gave you extra money. You got extra money on your paycheck. You found it someplace in a bag. Whatever. A barbershop quartet starts dropping it out of their pants pockets because they're so crazy popular these days. We'll talk about that this morning. We also have a chance for you to qualify for the world tour, which is Hozier at the Slane Castle in Ireland.
That's so cool.
Which is awesome. A guy.
I hear that's an actual castle.
I brought in a photo. Brought in a photo of it. I found it yesterday from.
So you have proof that it's a castle?
It's an actual castle.
All right.
And I know that no one will believe that, so I have a photo. This dude remodeled his house to make it a playground for his cats. I have to be honest. Most of the time when you say cats, it's associated with crazy cat ladies. This is a dude.
Oh, it's a dude?
It's a dude.
That's unusual.
That's very unusual. Jeff Bridges talks you to sleep. That's a weird story we're going to tell you about from one of the Super Bowl commercials.
I listened to that whole album yesterday.
And?
I mean, it's just Jeff Bridges just talking. I mean, it sounds like it was recorded in on his walks, in his kitchen, in his, you know, just going about his day.
What does he say?
We got some highlights for you, but it's not like it's a tape of him soothingly trying to make you go to sleep.
No, that's what I would think.
It's not him at all. Okay. It's just him telling little stories and going about his day and talking about breakfast. And it's one of the strangest things ever. Like, why does this exist? Why wasn't Jeff Bridges on the plane to entertain those passengers?
No kidding. We did a great interview yesterday with Charlotte McKinney.
I thought so, too. Thank you, Kevin.
From the Carl's Jr. commercial. Apparently, there's a recap that's needed. And Ralph's going to bring in that.
I think he's going to set you straight.
I feel like it went well. I'm happy with it.
I thought it was fine, too. I think Charlotte loved us very much. And I think she'll be coming back often. But
yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not down with all that. But
Ralph seems to think maybe we didn't handle it as professionally as we might have.
And Drew Curtis is a friend of ours who runs FARK, FARK.com. It's basically just funny, wacky, weird stories that get put up. And he's been doing that for a long time. And now he's decided he's going to run for the Kentucky governor. He wants to be the governor of Kentucky.
Wow.
And that seems like perhaps there's a couple of steps missing there. He's putting up wacky videos, too. He wants to be in government.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk to him about that coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll start things off with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Ralph Garman is here. That means it's time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday morning. Kevin and Bean Show, what you talking about?
You're Tom Brady. You just won the Super Bowl. What are you going to do? I'm going to go party with Rick Ross.
What? I would not have seen that coming.
Yeah, no one did. But apparently that's what happened. That's how the Patriots celebrated, excuse me, after the Super Bowl at the Sheraton White Horse Pass Resort and Spa in Chandler, Arizona. After the victory, Tom Brady partied till 2:30 in the morning with Rick Ross and UFC champion John Jones.
Wow.
And Gronk. And there were four different ballrooms, all having parties for the Patriots. Flo Rida and Pitbull performed for the crowd. And guests were treated to all the food and booze they could drink all night.
Did Pitbull have to perform?
Dale! Mr. Worldwide! So that's how Tom Brady rolls. When you think of celebrating with the Super Bowl, what else do you think of? That's right, hookers. Warren Sapp, legendary Hall of Fame defensive lineman and commentator for the NFL Network, decided to partake. Look, you're in Phoenix. You just watched the Super Bowl. What else is there to do in Phoenix, by the way, after the Super Bowl?
I grew up there. Just about nothing.
That's right. You can throw rocks at your neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Or you can pick up a hooker. So he picked up a hooker. Where's the harm? Where's the foul? Well, it is against the law. And
what?
The NFL frowns on that. So they fired him from the NFL Network. Warren Sapp's contract has been terminated. He no longer works for the NFL Network, said a spokesperson.
At least you're guilty until proven innocent, right?
Yeah.
According to the NFL Network.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, look, he's only been arrested and charged. He hasn't been convicted.
Yeah. Okay.
I think the NFL
if you read the details of the arrest, it's going to be hard not to have some bad fall on him for this one.
The NFL's really trying to clean up their image.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, this is not the year.
Yeah.
This is not the year to get busted for soliciting a prostitute. And when you hear the details of the arrest, apparently Warren got into an argument with two women at a downtown Phoenix hotel over how much was going to be spent.
Okay. He was trying to bargain them down?
Yes.
Really?
The fight got physical, and the two women sustained minor injuries.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Yeah, they can't be a part of any of that. I like Warren Sapp, by the way.
QB
I like
killer.
Him a lot. I enjoy him. I enjoyed him as a player, enjoy him as a personality, enjoy him as a commentator.
He's a great guy. He's a great
guy.
Sad
to hear that. Yeah.
He was also arrested for a domestic battery back in 2014 in Miami when he beat up his wife. So maybe he's not the great guy.
Not a great guy. Ralph, I know I ask you this question all the time, but I'm sure...
There's not enough details in this.
No,
hair.
No, no.
Who
I'm sure...
Who was the wearing? What color was the hair of the hooker?
I'm sure there are listeners who are asking this question that I have asked so often, which is, your Hall of Fame football giant, Warren Sapp, you're on television, you're famous, you're personable, you're young, you're good-looking. Why is he buying a hooker when he could go to the Rick Ross party and find 20 women who would be willing to sleep with him?
Because he's lazy. He does not want to have a conversation with someone. He doesn't want to have to try to seduce her and bring her back to the hotel room. Hey, we don't want to go back. Hey, romance, wine and dine. He doesn't want to play any games. He's just looking for what he's looking for.
It just seems to me that
he wants her to go away afterwards.
Being a former NFL star just seems like it'd be easy pickings. I don't know.
You're not paying him to have sex. You're paying him to go away.
Right.
All right. That's what it is.
And speaking of going away, Taylor Swift.
Should
absolutely go away. I mean, let's face it. No one likes her.
That's true. that's a true... That's science.
That is science. And even less now that she's trademarked this sick beat.
Yeah, that's pretty annoying.
It's pretty annoying, right?
Yeah. That's super annoying.
And there's one band that is recording under the moniker Peculate that is really upset the fact that she has trademarked the phrase... This sick beat.
They have a song called that?
Ben Norton is the name of the guy. He's an American composer and musician. And he says that he is furious that she has done this because it, and this is his thoughts, trademarks are a direct attack on one of the most fundamental and unalienable rights of all, our freedom of speech. If you give the bourgeoisie an inch, they take a mile, and everything else you have in the process. So he has recorded a protest song. A heavy metal protest song against Taylor Swift.
I love it.
Called This Sick Beat. Just daring her. Just taunting her, saying, come and get me. You want to sue me? I wrote an entire song called This Sick Beat. It is, it's death metal, basically. And it's the greatest song I've ever heard. And probably the greatest song you've ever heard, too. Here's a little taste. This Sick Beat!
That's pretty strong.
It sure is. Where's your barbershop quartet now, Lisa May? That's the best song ever. Taylor Swift has yet to respond to the song. I hope she sues. Sick. This sick beat. This sick beat. Greatest song ever. Today's celebrity birthdays. Morgan Fairchild is 65 years old today. Nathan Lane turns 59. Maura Tierney is 50. Isla Fisher, 39 years old today. Tim Heidecker of Tim and Eric is 39 as well. And Rebel Wilson celebrates her 29th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, hang on, wait. Everybody be quiet. Everybody start to breathe. Everybody start to relax. Was this the strangest Super Bowl commercial that you saw?
I have to admit, I must have been getting food or something. I didn't see it, because this I would have loved.
I did, and I did not understand
I love nonsense.
There's a company called Squarespace.com, and obviously this campaign is working, because that's the first time those words have ever been said on the Kevin and Bean Show, and they are a place that you go to help you build websites. And the commercial that they ran during the Super Bowl just shows actor Jeff Bridges, who... I don't know. What do people know him best for? Obviously, he's the dude from The Big Lebowski, but he's been in Iron Man and True Grit. He was in The Giver and Tron. I mean, the guy has been – he's a legend, an Oscar winner, has been around for a long time. But he is a little bit of a hippie, and the commercial shows him sitting in a couple's bedroom. They're asleep in bed, and he's doing that sound, the chanting, the meditation. And he's also rubbing a – I guess it's called a singing bowl or something like that. He's run, you know,
right.
Got his hands going around a thing. It's just – it's the weirdest commercial the world, and there's no voiceover that directs you to the website. Just says squarespace.com, and I guess it's working. I guess people are going there.
I like him because he's just so bizarre.
Uh-huh.
And he's fine with that.
Yes,
no,
he's definitely he is marching to some music in his head that the rest of us can't hear.
Yep.
But dreamingwithjeff.com is also in the commercial, and a lot of people went to that site and were a little bit surprised by what was being offered there.
Yeah, it's basically him talking about things to help you sleep.
Well, that seems nice.
Sure. The first one is called
One of the things I do to relax is to hum.
All right. This is real, first of all, by the way. This is not Ralph in the other room. This is actually Jeff Bridges. My question to you guys is, in any way would listening to that make you sleep?
I don't think so.
So far, no.
Okay.
I don't think so. And then certainly a glass of water won't help me sleep, because that just makes me worry.
Yeah, water. We need water, although I don't know if you're like me. You drink some water before you go to bed. You're getting up a couple of times during the night, but that's okay. It's nice to get up in the middle of the night. You know, you pass the window, you see the full moon out there, or on the way to the toilet, you're... noticing the patterns on the rug. It can be a good experience. Anyway, I get off the track here.
Yeah. Did you?
Just a bit.
Did you get off the track? You're talking about the patterns in the rug?
He's been off the track for quite some time.
But don't you just feel like he's, you know, again, I love Jeff Bridges, but he's an old man who's walking around talking to himself and recording it on his iPhone, and that's what's available for people to download.
Yeah, and it's awesome. And I don't know why. I listen.
I don't know, but I just got sleepy.
It's not my type of thing. Now, here, the next clip we have is called IKEA. And this is basically what's going to happen when he dies. What happens when Jeff Bridges dies?
Geez,
he's
okay.
Looking forward.
When I die, there will be no burial or cremation. I have contracted with space materi. to store my remains aboard an Eterna satellite. My body will forever loop around the planet and emit a flashing light whenever it passes over a memorable location. Like that bar in Redondo Beach where we first met. Or IKEA.
Okay. So his remains are going to be in some type of satellite that's going to be circling the Earth. So when it goes over an IKEA, it'll put out a bright light. Because Jeff Bridges loves IKEA, I guess.
Jeff has gone bye-bye. By the way, again, if you're just joining us, this is actually Jeff Bridges. The album is called Dreaming with Jeff, dreamingwithjeff.com. You can download it for free, or if you want to pay, you can, and the proceeds go to benefit charities that that help hungry children. So he is trying to raise a little money for a good cause here. But are you still sleepy, Lisa, or are you now more concerned and feel like we should call the authorities?
A little of both.
The next one's called Temescal Canyon.
This is the hiking track, right?
Yes. And he sees somebody, and he sort of talks to you and explains the process of how he interacts with other people.
He seems to be enjoying this day, too. Let's wave. Wave. Ah, that's some nice waving. You'll notice shortly. Keep waving. Right. Ah, he seems like a nice guy. Maybe his name is Jim or Neil. Hello, Neil! Oh, look, see? You enjoyed that wave. Waved right back. You must be a Neil. All right, let's continue.
He's gone bye-bye.
Do you think these are just the type of thoughts he always has in his head anyway? It's just he's saying them out loud for once?
Yeah, I would assume so, yeah.
I definitely do.
But who does that? Like, I mean, it's sort of a fun game, like if you're at a mall and you're wasting time to try and guess people's job.
Uh-huh.
Or whatever, but have you ever guessed their name? Like,
no.
And then wave?
That guy
looks
like.
And then yell, hey, Neil. Oh, look, he's waving back.
He must be a Neil.
What's happening? And finally, feeling good. This is Jeff Bridges telling you that you're not so bad.
You smell nice. You order well at restaurants. Even if you think you can't swim, you probably can. You have excellent insights about popular movies. You're very good at guessing when a traffic light will turn green. Everyone at work has nice things to say about you.
Aw, that's nice.
So that's the thing.
Thank you, Jeff.
That's a deal right there. And you can get that and you can listen to it every night and hopefully it'll help you sleep.
Why not?
I love him because he's crazy.
I always feel like when Ralph says, hey, can you guys carve me out some time? I've got some thoughts on the Kevin and Bean show. It doesn't seem like it's ever good news for us.
It is good news.
Really? You're coming in to say great job, guys?
An unexamined life is not worth living.
I have heard that.
Yes, and that is true. So this way you get a chance to reflect. You get a chance to step outside and take another look with fresh eyes. You get to see your progress.
Right, but I think sometimes you don't want to look at the game tape when you've lost as badly as we've lost.
How else are you going to keep from losing that badly
if
again
you're
if you
Seahawks,
don't look at the game
are you
tape?
Looking at that game today?
Yeah.
No,
because,
you're
yeah,
waiting.
You don't want that play ever to happen again, right?
Right.
So let's spend a little time in the film room, boys. Okay. Everybody take a knee.
All right. What did we do this time, Ralph?
Here's the thing about Kevin and Bean, boys and girls, for those of you who are listening. Under the best of situations, they are fair to middling.
Thank you, Ralph.
But when you bring a really attractive woman into the mix, when you bring in a supermodel or a porn star or, in this case, a commercial model like Boobs McFadden, she was
Charlotte McKinney.
That's it. Whatever her name.
Yeah,
is.
Carl's Jr.
Yeah, Cans Malone.
Uh-huh.
She was from the Carl's Jr. ad
right.
from the Super Bowl, where she's walking around naked with her boobs flopping, and Kevin and Bean insisted on having her in on the show to talk to her.
I think that's a worthwhile interview subject, don't you, Ralph?
No, because she, as a sweet girl,
uh-huh.
didn't have a whole lot to say, and you guys were just embarrassing as you fell over your own units. Trying to impress her. And
how dare you?
You were giggling like five-year-olds, and it was just, it was a nightmare. It was a
how
train
dare you?
It was just tragic to hear you two act like 12-year-olds trying to impress the prettiest girl in the class.
Look, I was expecting you to mock us. I wasn't expecting nightmare.
Well, don't be a nightmare then.
Come on now.
Kevin kicks things off as we go back over the game tape. He's just trying to be sympathetic for how hard it must be for her right now to be her.
Are you in a fog of a schedule right now? Just crazy going.
A fog of schedule, I think, is second only to a moment of party in the pantheon of what the F does that mean?
It's a fog of schedule. That
what is a fog of schedule?
I didn't say it right.
Play that clip. Play that clip again.
I'd rather not. Are you in a fog of a schedule right now? Just crazy going.
Are you in a fog of schedule? What was your question?
That I have been working with Kevin so long that I don't even hear stuff like
that
anymore.
You didn't hear fog of schedule?
I didn't even notice. It sounded completely like a regular Kevin question to me.
I saw fog of schedule. It's true, by the way. They're outstanding. So, Cance McNamara says that
Charlotte McKinney.
Yeah. Says that her boobs have always been so big that they've sort of been a problem for her.
Right. All right, now, isn't this great radio? Isn't this a good radio interview? Is this what you want to hear when you tune into the Kevin and Bean show?
And her sister recommended that maybe she get a breast reduction.
All right.
That did not go over well in this particular room.
Did you ever think I'm getting the message that my boobs are too big from so many people? If I want to move on, I'm going to have to do something about that and make them smaller.
You know what? It was a thought. Like, my sister was always like, maybe you should get a reduction.
First of all, your sister should die, but go ahead.
First of all, your sister should die.
Well, I didn't mean literally. I just meant that's a
that was
bad...
your comedy. That was your comedy comment?
Yeah.
Death to your sister, well, that was the keeping things light?
I felt like that was funnier before it came out. It was funny.
Do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
First of all, your sister should die.
Well,
I can't think of any circumstances where that's ever funny.
But I'm not talking about for real.
Right.
I'm just saying.
So what was the comic element of that then? What was the fantastical part of it?
It was then? That's an absurd thing that's an absurd advice.
Right.
So
your sister should be locked up in a dungeon for that
something along those lines. That's the same because she...
That's the same.
Yes, because
as
you
your
would,
sister should die.
Because you wouldn't expect either of those to actually happen.
Your sister should be hit with a trank dart, something like along those lines.
Well, that would have been better.
Your sister should die, maybe a little
on
the harsh
words.
Side.
Fog of schedule, sister should die.
even for Melons Malone, I think she was a little taken aback by that.
She thought should it was have funny. Been. She should have been, by the way, taken back by killed my sister.
Yeah, I think so. Listen to how you guys fawn all over her in this next segment.
Well, she's pretty.
So can't you be a grown-ass man and just suck it up and pretend that you've seen a pretty girl before?
Look at her, though, Ralph. I think we did pretty darn well considering how huge her boobs are.
Listen,
come on.
Listen to this.
Either this tall model girl who's flat-chested who kind of looks like a guy or, you know, me with curves. And guys like that. And,
yes. Guys like it very much.
We do. They
Why
do.
Am
they
I
do.
The only one applauding?
Yeah,
no,
right.
I got your back here, Kevin.
Come on now.
I've got your back, Kevin. I'm applauding you. I'm applauding your big boobies. Aren't you embarrassed?
Not even a little bit.
Not
really. For that.
All right.
No.
Then she talks about how rough it was for her growing up. And how she was bullied. And you know, sometimes when you're talking about women being sort of catty to each other, sometimes you'll make the sound of a cat and you'll go, "Rear."
Right.
Right?
Right.
Bean tries to make that sound.
Oh, that's what the tweet. I got a tweet from somebody saying, please isolate Bean making the cat sound. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
We're going to get you up there. We're going to play it. And then we have it about three times afterwards so you can really hear it. But anyone talking about a cat would go, rear.
Right.
Please listen to the attempt.
I hope you kept every one of their names so that you could send them a copy of your Carl's Jr. ad. How you
guys,
like me now, bitch?
I just want you to have this copy. Here's a shirt signed by me. Have a good week in your trailer. They're probably all pregnant now, but, you know, whatever. All right, now that you pointed out.
What is that?
Was that the cat thing?
Is that a cat sound?
You knew that's what I was trying to do. It sort of sounded like it a little bit. I think the message got across.
Hang on.
All right, that's the best thing ever.
Or she's trying to start her motorcycle. I'm not sure which.
Wow. I've worked with Bean too long that I didn't hear that.
It sounds like an old crank-up siren underwater.
This is just like when I was trying to do the dog pound with Arsenio Hall that time. I can't do dog sounds. Apparently, I can't do cat sounds
either.
I
think you're doing both perfectly well.
We got it again?
Yes.
No? No, come on. What's wrong with you two?
A lot, Ralph. You know that. A lot.
So you're saying
he,
it went well?
Then he sent her on her way by insulting her, which I thought was a nice touch. You came all the way around from just pandering and laughing at everything she said to saying that Joe Dirt was going to be the worst movie ever. And she's going to be in it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And then Kevin defends it, telling Bean she's going to be in it, and then Kevin trashes it and says, well, don't oversell it. It's not going
to
be good.
I wasn't defending it as much as I was defending the fact that she was going to be in it.
Play it.
I have my Joe Dirt 2 movie coming out in the summer. So.
And there's no way you can stop that movie from coming out?
She's in it.
I'm in it.
I'm just saying.
It's going to be great.
She's in the
speaking
well,
for the rest of us.
Come on. It's going to be an amazing movie.
I'm sure it is.
Well, I think she may have oversold it is what I'm saying. I was defending only the fact that she's in the movie, so maybe don't. But then she had to go and say it's going to be great.
Well, it was time.
What am I supposed
time
to do
well spent with Sweater Puppies McGee.
Charlotte McKinney.
106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Our friend Drew Curtis, who created FARC.com, one of the greatest websites of all time, is running for governor of Kentucky for reals. We're going to talk to him about how much money he plans to lose on that in about 10 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. First, though, Rob's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
I just want to hear that noise over and over again.
You're awful.
I am awful. I cannot dispute.
And as if Bean wasn't bad enough, all those things he's been saying about Suge Knight.
That's
I've
really
never heard
shocking.
Such language.
Wait a second here.
Coming out of the mouth of, first of all, just disgusting racist comments made about
I've not said a word about Mr. Knight.
I agree. That
I think he's
super...
a stand-up guy who's probably been framed for this latest time he killed a dude.
And the fact that Bean provided the DA with the videotape that they looked at regarding what happened in that
I don't
those
believe that I had anything to do with that.
That's going to come back to bite him in the ass, I think. Suge Knight has indeed been charged with murder, attempted premeditated murder, and other felony charges. It all happened last night. Suge ran over and killed Terry Carter on Thursday in the parking lot of a burger joint in Compton, allegedly. However, that was an accident because he was trying to run over another guy named Clee Bone Sloan, but he hit Terry Carter by accident. So that's why he got the murder, but he also got attempted premeditated murder because he was gunning for Bone Sloan when he ended up running over Terry Carter instead.
So murder was the case that they gave him. In the words of the great Death Row hit record by Snoop Dogg. Come on, that fits.
The first time you said he was accused with murder, that came to my mind. And then I thought, my very next thought was, how long till Bean makes that joke?
Yeah.
It was literally
and then you thought,
a minute and a half.
Police claim to have a video that shows some of what happened, and it could be enough to put Suge in jail for life. Insiders claim his bail was revoked yesterday because he is a flight risk and he could try to intimidate any witnesses like Bean who plans to tell the DA everything he knows. So, just saying, maybe Suge's people should look into some of those.
I agree. It's odd that Bean would be doing that.
I know. I don't even know Bean was in town.
I didn't
yet
either.
Apparently he was. Michael Keaton seems like a good guy.
He sure does.
This is an interesting story coming out of the National Enquirer. He was walking through Venice Beach the other day when he saw two guys getting into a fight over a basketball game.
Okay.
Word is he walked out of the court and ordered the two giant guys to knock it off, settle down. And then he proceeded to stay and referee the game for them so they wouldn't fight any longer.
What?
How random is that? Hey, Batman just refereed our basketball game. Very strange. I love stuff like that.
I do too.
It's very Bill Murray-esque.
It is. From one Batman to another, Val Kilmer had to be facilitated. They had to put a path in his throat to facilitate his breathing when he was rushed to the hospital last week because of swelling in his throat. He has since denied that it's a tumor. However, insiders say it is, in fact, a tumor that may be killing him because he's a devout follower of Christian Science.
Oh.
Christian scientists, of course, feel that prayer, not medicine, can heal everything. You don't need any medicine. You just need prayer, and then that'll help you breathe.
Let's run that by Dr. Drew and see if that's sound medical policy.
I think so. Same thing as not vaccinating
your
kids.
Yeah,
because it'll just take care of itself.
Hmm.
And this is sad. Former Disney starlet Bella Thorne. She's on heroin.
No!
Nah, just in a movie. It's okay.
All right.
She was in a series called Shake It Up on the Disney Channel. Now she's doing a Lifetime movie called Perfect High about a high school dancer who starts using prescription painkillers, but then works her way up to heroin. I wonder if there's a song that would be appropriate for that.
First you stole prescription pills from your mom. You threw back a few, and then they were gone. So you're jonesing real bad. Yeah, you need some more. So you call a shady guy and say you're looking to score. And that's how you got addicted to heroin.
There's the theme song from that movie, I think it was right.
He came over quick, said he got something new. For just $10, you snort or chew. Said just one time, and then you'd be fine. But soon you OD'd, and now you're dying.
Aw,
well, that's a little bummer.
And that's how you got addicted to heroin.
Sure.
Take it if you don't.
And that's how you OD'd on heroin.
That's beautiful.
Your sister should die. Today's celebrity birthdays. Fog of schedule? Morgan Fairchild is 65 years old today.
I got a complaint that she did not receive a bell first time out.
Morgan?
Yeah, she...
I haven't seen her recently. I don't know what she's up to. I don't know.
Last time I saw her was in those Old Navy spots.
Yeah,
right?
I thought she looked real good then.
But I'm gonna say yes unless there's a protest against it.
Well, we got to do some research. Give her a temporary one.
Temporary bell? Conditional bell? We'll
only
take that
this hour.
Nathan Lane is 59 years old today. Actress Maura Tierney turns 50. Isla Fisher's 39 years old. Tim Heidecker from Tim and Eric is 39. And Rebel Wilson celebrates her 29th birthday. I'll tell you, those girls, they were going to sing. Those girls, they're the Pitch Perfect girls. They're going to get back together, and they're going to get on stage, and they're going to sing. I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
That's going to happen.
Get your tickets now.
The kids loved that first movie.
There's going to be singing.
Loved it, Ralph.
There's going to be cups.
You didn't care for it?
Cups and singing. I
loved it.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
Enough said.
Enough said. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Home of K-Rox World Tour 2015, destination number 4, which is Hozier at Slane Castle in Ireland. Keep listening to K-Rox for a chance to win your way into the official K-Rox pre-Grammy party, which is going to be with Hozier this Friday night at the Grammy Museum at LA Live. And then you're on the standby boarding list to see him in Ireland. We got that for you later on this morning. By the way, speaking of great K-Rox music, Cage the Elephant, live on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show, performing for us. And the guys from Incubus are coming in on Thursday to world premiere a brand new song.
That's pretty cool.
Nice.
Incubus, your boyfriend Brandon, Lisa.
Yes.
Going to be here. All right, let's turn our attention to something that I spent a lot of time thinking about, and that is how this country got so far away from how it started with citizen candidates, with a guy who runs a bank or who is a farmer, who is a blacksmith, who goes to Washington for 4 years, 8 years, does his duty, and then goes back home and resumes his old job.
Am I a bad guy if I don't spend a lot of time thinking about that?
No, you're not a bad guy.
All
but
right.
Now we live in a world where you have to be a millionaire, usually a multimillionaire, and a professional politician. And many people, that's the only job they've ever had, is working for the United States government. And I hate that that's the system we've turned into. Now, the reason I bring all that rather serious-sounding stuff up is a friend of ours is trying to make a difference. His name is Drew Curtis. We've had him on the show a bunch of times in the past. He is the guy who founded FARC.com, which I doubt there are very many KROQ listeners who don't have that bookmarked on their computers because it's one of the best news aggregate sites in the world and one of the most popular, too. And he is running to be the governor of the great state of Kentucky. Drew, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
What a seemingly out of the blue, crazy idea. Tell me how it happened.
Yeah, well, so your intro actually pretty much nailed it. I was sitting around thinking exactly the same thing, which is, you know, how do you get influence money out of politics? And how do you, and this more or less came up with the issue of net neutrality, where out of the blue, this is a nonpartisan issue that's being dealt with at the FCC. And now suddenly it's partisan because the communications companies needed to buy legislation. And now the Republicans who control the legislature are suddenly very much against it. And the thing is I doubt any of them ever thought about it at all before that happened. And all of a sudden, you know, you see corporations buying legislation everywhere.
So in other words, the only issues that politicians care about are the ones that involve them getting lots of money?
Yeah, well, and here's the problem, too, is, like, so I was sitting around thinking about, you know, just the way politics works, and here's what we're stuck with, basically, is that, you know, legislation shows up, politician checks donor list to see if they were paid to pass this or not, and then they make the decision based on that. And it's aggravating that nobody ever goes to the data and goes, hey, well, maybe does this benefit the public at all? Is this something anybody wants? So you get things like, for example, you know, Michigan, for example, outlawed sale of Tesla motor cars in the entire state because they don't use a dealership, and it wasn't like there were millions of people clamoring for that. And, you know, that's just one small example. We've all seen it before.
Does it seem like, though, that the system is irrevocably broken? I mean, what possible difference can one guy running for the governorship in one state make? Or do you just look at this is just the beginning to try to get the ball rolling and get the issues out there?
Well, it's definitely that, but there's an interesting thing that happens if I can't be bought because I care a lot more about, you know, what's going on with the country rather than, you know, lining my pockets. I'm only running for one term. I never really wanted to be a politician at all. But look what happens when somebody who can't be bought ends up in the governorship. All of a sudden, no legislation can be bought because it just flat out won't pass anymore. And it brings the entire system to a screeching halt. You know, now they can only pass bills that make sense. And otherwise, they're not going anywhere.
So,
that
Drew,
was sort of the idea.
It sounds like a pretty lofty idea, but if it's working, why only one term?
Well, I'm hoping that other people can sort of pick up the mantle and keep going. But the idea is basically, you know, I don't necessarily want to be a career politician here. So I'd like to just get in, try to set up a working format for somebody else to pick up after I'm gone, and then, you know, basically get out and then hopefully help other people in other states who are, you know, I'm calling it citizen candidates, just normal people who would do a good job in office and help them run without party support.
But speaking of party support, I mean – I mean, this is the conversation that always comes up every time an independent runs for president. And if a guy, you know, shows up and he starts to get some interest like Ross Perot did back in the 90s, people say, yeah, but who's going to work with him? He doesn't have a political party behind him. I mean, don't you have to be aligned with a certain amount of high profile politicians to even get any of your legislation passed through?
Well, I don't have any legislation I'm looking to pass. Like, you know, there are no simple issues to big problems. And what I'm really more interested in doing is streamlining the executive branch and basically, you know, applying 21st century technology to 19th century organization. You know, like, more people are worried about how many red lights they hit every day going to work than they are about anything political. And ideally, government should just be, you know, out of the way and functioning well behind the scenes rather than messing with our lives.
Let's talk about the money aspect of it, Drew. I mean, you still own FARC.com, right? You never ended up selling it to Microsoft or somebody, right?
No, I didn't, no.
So you're doing pretty well.
They're doing okay, actually. It's a lot of fun, though. I mean, I do it because I enjoy it, not because it makes a ton of money.
But is this the type of thing that you're going to sink $10 million of your own money into trying to become the governor?
No, it's not. And the main reason is because, well, first of all, my wife wouldn't let me do it unless I promised not to spend any of our own money on it. But secondly, if we can't get traction otherwise, then it doesn't make any sense to do it. If I can't find 5,000 people who are interested in, you know, contributing to the campaign, then I probably shouldn't do it at all. So that's sort of the theory behind that.
One of the things that I found interesting in one of the interviews I read about you, and again, we're talking to our friend Drew Curtis from FARC.com, who is an independent candidate for governor of Kentucky. The race, of course, election is going to be in November, is that you're trying to get just every regular person who believes in you to donate $5. That eventually adds up to quite a bit of money, right?
Yeah, it's I actually got the idea from a TED talk given by Larry Lessig on influence money, which is a must-watch video if you get a chance and you want to sort of see a really good explanation of the problem. And he points out that if everybody who was going to vote gave their own candidate $5, that amount of money would be so much larger than influence money that influence money would start not having any impact at all.
Wow.
And I thought it was an interesting idea, so hopefully, wow. Hopefully it works.
How seriously are people in Kentucky taking your run?
Actually, very seriously. They do want to double check to make sure I'm not messing around, but
sure.
I'm not messing around. So once that's done, one thing people don't realize about Kentucky that's unusual is we've had a pretty strong independent candidate run multiple other times. And last time he pulled 9% of the vote, he got 20% a couple elections ago. But unfortunately, he passed away suddenly due to cancer. So it isn't that it's impossible to get any traction here. People have done it before.
Drew, I'm sure you've already thought of this, but have you contacted Kentucky native Chris Hardwick to try to get some help with the Nerdist community?
Oh, yeah. Right now, I've been going down my list of people. Chris is a good friend, and I haven't gotten down that far yet, but I'm definitely planning on doing it. It's actually surprising like how many Kentucky natives are actually out in the sort of outside the state doing their own thing. One of the things I suggested doing is that Kentucky does a very bad job of contacting people who grew up here and left for support and information. And I think that's something we should really get on.
Yeah, you got to get Clooney, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he's here a lot, so I'm surprised I haven't bumped into him yet.
Wouldn't that be unbelievable if George Clooney was doing campaign ads for Drew? It sounds like the type of thing he might do.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely hoping to hook up with him and talk about it and see, you know, just basically say, look, here's the deal, you know, are you interested or not, and then sort of go from there. But hopefully it's a thing that it does resonate with a lot of people. I came across a website called WeNeedSmith.com recently where they have done some polling and says that 84% of people feel alienated from the political system. So you want to talk about, you know, that's broad agreement there that something needs to be changed.
No kidding. All right, last question for me, Drew, and that is, you know, Kevin and I always talk about not that we'd ever want to get into politics, but our background check would just fail us. Do you have, even with all the success that you've had and the life that you've lived, you got no skeletons that are going to come back and bite you as you run for office here?
I've never done anything illegal, and I've never hurt anybody, and those are the two main things. And then after that, skeletons are basically things you're unwilling to own up to. And I've sort of lived my life pretty much online for the last 16 years, so there's all kinds of stuff out there. Anybody who's not going to vote for a candidate that ever said something dumb in the past probably doesn't want to look at me. But that said, again, I'm a normal guy. I did not scrub my Facebook page. I left that up there because I don't want to be a modified person. You know, it's pretty much out there.
Hey, so you're a guy who brings us videos of people getting hit in the nuts with baseballs. I mean, that's what you do, and people need to know that that's what you do.
Pretty much. I mean, one of the things that I had to promise myself was that this isn't going to change me. I don't want to become a politician as a result of this. So, you know, that's part of the process is like, hey, everybody, guess what? All my stuff is online. So, you know, do with that what you will. But no, I mean, I haven't hurt anybody or done anything illegal, so I'm in good shape.
My only question for you, Drew, is what's going to happen to FARC.com if you're the governor?
So, yeah, that's come up too. So it turns out that FARC is pretty much my morning read. You know, like everybody, I get up and I start, you know, reading stuff on the internet. And the only difference between me and everybody else is I put it up on a website. I'm going to still do that even after getting elected because, you know, it doesn't take that long, and that's how I stay informed on things. Probably we'll have to hire a very strong general manager to replace the rest of what I do, but for the most part, the sensibility should remain the same.
Well, that's the most important question. I'm glad Kevin asked that, is how does it affect us? All right, if you are interested in finding out more, would you like to donate or get in touch with Drew, you can go to drewcurtis.com/donate, and, of course, on Twitter, at Drew Curtis. Man, I was really so pleased and surprised when I saw this news, but it's great to talk to you and hear your thoughts on this, and I hope there are 1,000 more Drew Curtises out there by the next election cycle. Man, thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed it.
Anytime. Thank you.
Tuesday morning means the Bachelor Report with Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis coming up just after 8 o'clock this morning on KREK. And hey, by the way, remember we were telling you about that Hozier at Slane Castle deal?
Yep.
You can be eligible for that and win tickets to go see Hozier at the Grammy pre-party this Friday night if you call right now at 1-800-520-1067. You'll have to earn them. We're going to play a little game we like to call Lick Lisa. But if you want to play and win some Hozier tickets, 1-800-520-1067 is your number.
A California builder has spent the last 20 years turning his home into an adventure playground for his cats.
Yay!
The cats make the house feel alive. When we bought this house in 1988, it came with two outdoor, like, feral cats. And then one of them was killed, hit by a car. Oh. And then the second one was hit by a car and had to go to the vet for quite a bit of reconstructive surgery. So we made her an indoor cat. And then to get her company, because the other one had been killed, we went to the shelter and adopted a couple cats, and that's just started down the road.
How about less time building your house and more watching your cats?
Seriously. Quit throwing your cats in the road. Hey, when he said when we built this house, does this mean that he has a husband or a wife?
I believe, yes.
Because it seems like I just, in my mind, when I heard guy with so many cats, I thought, oh, he's a crazy cat guy who lives alone, probably.
15 cats!
That's too many.
Cheesecake, chocolate, Nutter, butter, crumple, rumple, cookie, poppy seed, kuro, nui, secret, wasabi, coffee bean, donut. So they're all rescues. All the rooms are connected. At night, sometimes at 2 or 3 in the morning, they'll start chasing each other on the catwalks, and they can go really fast, and it's pretty loud. It does wake us sometimes. For the walk, just the walks, I've probably spent $40,000 or $50,000. Right. There's spirals, there's bridges, there's arch bridges.
Yep.
A lot of the tunnels have faces on them, and one of my favorites is in the upstairs bathroom, there's a tunnel with a shark, and the carpenters actually made teeth, and when the cats walk through the teeth, they scratch the back of the cat, so the cats like to go back and forth.
I love my cats, my house, my art. I designed it to be beautiful to me. Peter Cohen of Goleta, California, has spent over $40,000 creating a kitty paradise for he and his 15 cats. We wanted to find out more about this. I believe we have Mr. Cohen on the line with us right now. Hi, Peter. How are you, sir?
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
We're good. Thank you. Well, we're fine. You've spent the last 20 years basically turning your home into an adventure playground for your cats.
Yes. It's just a wonderful oasis of love and wonderful catness.
Look, I get that you love your animals. We all do, but that sounds excessive to me, sir.
It's not. It's not. Cats give unconditional love.
Right.
And this is my way of giving back to them, just bringing more and more cats into the house and building more things for them.
But sounds just from what we can hear on the phone like they make a lot of noise.
Yes, they do. They keep me up at night, and it's very, very annoying.
But it sounds like, and I just saw a little taste of this video, but it looks to me like it's impossible for you to even walk around the house comfortably because you're always, like, you know, basically dodging catwalks.
It is. It's very difficult. This is not a good house for human beings.
And what about
just a comfortable situation for someone to live in?
Right. What about feeding and health care for 15 cats?
Yes.
That sounds like an extraordinary burden.
It's enormously expensive, and I go without many things.
You what?
So I go without many basic needs myself.
So it's not a good deal at all for you.
Not really, no. I'm in very poor health. I have bad dental hygiene. I just can't afford any sort of medical care for myself. I'm really on the just right on the precipice of destitute.
Oh, no. It sounded in the story like it was all going pretty well.
Seemed like a good idea at the time, I swear.
Right.
My heart was in the best place. Uh-huh. But I'm now in a living hell filled with cats.
Now, do you have more than the 15 that we heard?
Yes, they just keep coming. Okay. I don't know where they are. I don't know if they're mating or they're breeding. I don't know what the – it's just the whole house is being taken over.
At some point, you're just going to have to move out, lock the door, and forget that place exists.
I just want to burn it right to the ground.
Just promise us you'll let the cats out first.
No, these little bastards are going to fry. They've ruined my life, and
Peter,
I don't know what else to do.
They didn't ask for you to do this.
I don't know what I was thinking. I really don't. I have no friends, and now the cats are just, they claw, and they bite, and they attack me, and it's just, what was I thinking?
We have asked the same question ourselves, sir.
I'm sure you have.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
This is awesome.
20 till 8. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
This is fantastic. When you heard Beer Mug was going to be doing the licking, we thought maybe you went right to the parking lot, got in your car, and drove home.
I did, and then they caught me.
I'll be right back.
How dare
All
you.
Right, here's what you get. You get your way into the official K-Rock pre-Grammy party with Hozier this Friday night at the Grammy Museum at LA Live. Of course, the Grammys air this Sunday night on CBS, and you're eligible for the grand prize drawing to see Hozier again at Slane Castle in Ireland. Let's play Lick Lisa.
Can you lick Lisa? I think you'll find it's hard. But if you do lick Lisa, something hot's waiting for you.
Lick, lick Lisa, 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 but keep clear of her vagina.
Last part, man, it's such a deal breaker. All right, Kevin, explain to the callers on the line and those listening at home how this game is played.
Bean will ask a question. Lisa will give an answer. It's usually a numerical answer. And Lisa will guess. All you have to do as the contestant is tell us, is she right on or is the correct answer higher or lower?
Okay.
So you have to let Lisa answer first and then you tell us.
All right, and if you're right, if you lick Lisa, then Beer Mug gets to lick Lisa as well. He's the guy in the studio doing the licking. Let's meet our first contestant, please.
It is Devon.
Yes, Devon. Close enough.
Or Devon. Okay.
Devon. All right. Okay. All right, Devon. A little less attitude from you. We're trying to give you a prize here, all right?
Sorry.
The Grammy edition of Lick Lisa. Here's your question again. Remember, Lisa answers first. In the Best Rock Album category at the Grammys this year, you'll find our friend Beck along with U2 plus the Black Keys nominated for their excellent album called Turn Blue. Lisa, your question is, on the standard piano keyboard, how many black keys are there?
25.
Devon or Devin, is that correct? Or is the actual answer higher or lower?
I answer to both. I'm going to go with right on.
You think 25 is correct? I'm sorry. The actual answer is 36 black keys.
Oh.
52 white to make 88 altogether. I'm sorry you did not click Lisa,
Devin.
So you have deprived beer mug.
There you go, Devin. Anthony in Hollywood, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Anthony, one of the biggest hits of 2014 is nominated in two of the Grammys' biggest categories for Record and Song of the Year. That song is called Chandelier by Sia. While we don't know exactly how many chandeliers were on the Titanic, we do know how many people were on that ill-fated ship that hit an iceberg in 1912. Lisa, you saw the movie. How many people were on the Titanic?
A lot.
I think we need some type of numerical answer.
I hate these. Okay. Like 4,500.
All right. Anthony, is that the correct answer or is the correct answer higher or lower?
I would say lower.
Yes, it is. 2,228 were on the Titanic.
Well, that wasn't
by the way,
so
1,513 of them died. So
seems pretty bad.
it's not a good not a good ratio. Congratulations. You're in the drawing. You licked Lisa.
All right, Lisa.
Where are you going to lick here?
I think I'm going to go for – is that cool if I lick you on your hip, Lisa?
Is it? Yep.
Yeah.
That's like, first.
All right.
I like that he's just going for it. Don't forget the rule.
Oh, yeah, there is that rule.
All right.
Fantastic.
All right, who's next? Let's go to Ulan in Tarzana. Hi.
What's up, party people?
Hello.
Ulan.
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 Okay.
There you go.
Katy Perry, fresh off her halftime performance at the Super Bowl this weekend, is looking ahead to the Grammys. She is nominated for Best Pop Duo Performance for her song with Juicy J called Dark Horse. As you know, Lisa, horses are used for various competitions and sports and breeding and recreation and for plain old work. So there are a lot of them in the world. My question for you is, according to the latest data, how many horses are there in the world?
Shut up.
No, you.
That's just the stupidest question.
How many horses are there in the world?
I object to the question.
That's not part of that's not the
I don't want to answer
part
it.
Of the game.
It's dumb.
And I'm sorry, we'll not accept a lot.
Okay.
How many horses are there in the world?
There's...
Just pick a number. You're not going to be close.
5 million horses.
5 million horses. Alon, is that correct or is the actual answer higher or lower?
I'll say lower.
You're an idiot. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that out loud, but there's 58 million horses in the world.
So.
I'm sorry. You did not lick Lisa, that's so thank you for playing.
All right.
Ridiculous.
Let's go to Matt in Cyprus. Hi there, Matt.
What'd I do?
All right, Matt, listen up. Lick Lisa Grammy Edition. Coldplay is up for a Grammy in the Best Pop Vocal Album category, as well as for their single called Sky Full of Stars in the Best Pop Group Performance. Lisa May, according to NASA, approximately how many stars are there in our solar system?
Oh, good. How many stars in the solar system? Approximately.
Guess low.
How many stars? I'm going to guess 30.
30? That's a weird guess. Matt?
I would say she's wrong and it's higher than
that. I would say that that's correct, yes.
Nice. I'm sorry. The correct answer is one. It is called the sun. It's the only star in our solar system.
What?
So you did not lick Lisa.
Oh.
And Beer Mug does not get a chance to lick either.
That sort of felt like a trick question.
Yeah, it did.
That was a gut punch question.
How many stars in the solar system?
So
think
the
about
stars
it.
There's the stars? There's
the sun, and then there's the planets, and that's the solar system, wow. Kids. All right, we got time for one more question. Who's
Boo!
Our final contestant? By the way, is Anthony the only one who's licked Lisa's
yes.
So far? So far, he's the winner. Okay.
Yeah.
And Irene is next in Los Angeles. Hi, Irene.
Hello.
Hi, Irene. Drake, Kendrick Lamar, and Eminem are all nominated for the Best Rap Performance category at this year's Grammys. Eminem's song is his single called Rap God, which has already won a World Music Award, an MTV Video Music Award, and got him into the Guinness Book of World Records for the hit single that contains the most words. Here's a little bit of Rap God. Listen up.
Just say, looking boy, I get a hell yeah from Trey, looking boy. I'ma work for everything I have, never ask nobody. Get out my face, looking boy. Basically, boy, you're never gonna be capable of keeping up with the same pace, looking boy. Cause I'm beginning to feel like a rap god, rap god. All my people from the front to the back. Nah,
all right, Lisa, your question is, how many words are there in Eminem's Rap God that got it into the Guinness Book of World Records? I'll give you a hint. The song is just over 6 minutes long.
Oh, wow.
Pfft. Can't be the answer.
You are not on point today, Lisa.
6,000
words in 6 minutes. 1,000 words a minute is Lisa's guess.
Well, not when you put it that way.
Well, that's how you put it.
Irene.
Yes.
Is that the correct answer? Is the correct answer higher or lower?
Lower.
Yeah, way lower. It's, nice. But it's still impressive. It's 1,560 words, just under 4.5 words a second in Rap God.
Wow. Yes.
All right. You are in the drawing. Beer Mug, you get to lick one more time.
Lisa's right hip was so good, I'm going to have to try the left.
Left hip, all right.
This is the better one.
This is troubling. What? The better one?
Woo!
All right. Irene and Anthony, both in the drawing. Only one can win. Tickets to go see Hozier at the pre-Grammy party this Friday night. And be eligible to see the man again in Slane Castle in Ireland. Who's our winner, please?
Come on, Irene.
Irene.
Yay!
Yay!
Irene.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you for listening.
Good
Thank
job.
You for playing. Thank you for licking Lisa.
Lick, yeah. Lick Lisa. Lick, lick Lisa. But keep clear of her vagina.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic. It's a lot of buttons.
Just <You're> happened. Right? is it monkey time? What happened?
Yeah, it's monkey time.
Okay.
Mini stroke. What the hell's wrong with you?
Seriously.
A lot.
You
Are
do
you in
that
a schedule of fog?
How
day.
Dare you? How dare you? 5 times a day.
Yeah, that happens 5 times a day. But I'll do it problem-free for 2 weeks. You don't notice that, do you? No.
You do it for 25 years.
All right.
Nobody says good job to the surgeon when he doesn't kill the patient.
That's right. Thank you, Bean.
Hey, Ralph, I am told I didn't see a minute of it like usual, but I am told by our listeners that the crazy was brought extra hard on last night's Bachelor. True or false?
It's there was fun crazy up till now. Fun crazy.
Oh.
But last night was like, okay, now we're entering into a brand new level of sinister, scary, dangerous crazy.
Really?
Wow. Yes. Well, I can't wait to hear all about it as Petros joins us for the Bachelor Report coming up. First time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
I'm pretty sure one of the women on The Bachelor wants to skin The Bachelor and wear his flesh as clothing.
Oh, my God.
That seems bad.
Yeah. I think we're at that level of madness now. And some spectacular stupidity. And my favorite doesn't bathe. So there's a lot to talk about in the next
okay,
break.
Good.
So we'll get right to it. Speaking of crazy and horrible women, Taylor Swift is in the news.
How dare you?
She, of course, made headlines when she decided to start trademarking the English language just so she could make money off of us. Like, this sick beat, trademarked it. Now you can't say that anymore without paying her something. That was a piece of a lyric from one of the songs on her album, 1989. Well, there is a right-thinking American who described himself as a committed activist. His name is Ben Norton. He says he hopes to challenge and help to eventually resolve these gross obstacles to human progress. Progress for everyone, not just the few. He says trademarking the English language is a direct attack on our freedom of speech. If you give the bourgeoisie an inch, they will take a mile and everything else you have in the process. They've already privatized land, water, and now words. After language, they will try to privatize air. But although the rich can try, they will never truly own the words we use and the language we speak. USA! 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 So Ben Norton has released a new song just to taunt that succubus Taylor Swift. She wants to trademark this sick beat. Well, how about a song that is made up entirely of the words this sick beat? It is a protest song, and it is death metal, and it is Godhead. This sick beat!
Wait, here comes. That is my ringtone. That's got to be my ringtone.
It should be.
It should be our national anthem is what it should be.
That's awesome.
No word yet from Taylor Swift's camp.
Oh, well, she'll Cowards. Have this guy killed, right?
Cowards. Cowards, compromisers.
Rob, I have a question about... No, it's just a question. It's a little question.
Here.
If I keep playing this, maybe he won't ask a question.
Right.
It's a pretty awesome song, by the way. Do you think that the reason she's going this trademark route is because of all that trouble she got into when she didn't do due diligence with the Lucky 13 stuff that she put out, tried to put out clothing and whatnot with the Lucky 13, and then found out there was another company that already copyrighted that name? Do you think maybe that's what she's trying to do, is avoid that problem again?
Maybe she's just trying to be legal.
Yeah, maybe she's trying to be the best person ever.
I'm asking if that's a reasonable guess, though, as to why she's trademarking these things.
Maybe she's trying to make up for original sin. Maybe she wants us all to be blessed. Maybe she'll hang on the cross and save us all.
That's you. She's a succubus.
She's a succubus. She's a greedy little money-grubbing succubus.
She's dumb.
All right, Kevin, that's enough.
New Red Hot Chili Peppers music in the works. Finally, we'll have something to play here on K-Rock. It's going to be produced by Danger Mouse. That's an interesting combination.
Right. He's excellent. He does great work with Broken Bells.
Flea confirmed in a tweet, unnamed producer who is really challenging us to find new ways to come up with music is in fact Brian Burton. That's Danger Mouse's real name. The new Peppers album is due out later this year, so that's kind of cool.
I have a clip if you want to hear it.
Oh, absolutely.
Leaked online.
Sure.
I'd like to hear a little bit.
Yeah, I'd love it.
New Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
That is new music for them.
Different direction.
And Suge Knight has been charged with murder, attempted premeditated murder, and other felony charges.
Rest in peace.
He's not dead yet. This all came down last night. Suge ran over and killed a gentleman named Terry Carter, allegedly, on Thursday in a parking lot of a burger joint in Compton. But here's his defense. It was an accident because he was trying to run down a different guy named Clee Bone Sloan and hit Terry Carter by accident.
Did he say that?
No. Apparently, everyone knows he was upset in the fight with this Bone Sloan, and he was trying to run him over, but then he ran over this Terry Carter guy, who I had heard was his friend and compadre, by accident. Police claim to have a video that shows some of what happened, and it could be enough to put Suge in jail for life, say insiders. His bail was revoked yesterday afternoon because they consider him a flight risk, and besides that, he could try to intimidate any possible witnesses. I don't think he would do that. Doesn't seem like his way.
Please.
Despite what Bean says about him, all those horrible things. But I think this is going to be an interesting trial.
Sorry, kids.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Rebel Wilson is 29 years old today.
All right. Now.
All right.
Nope.
All right. What?
Look. Here's
Nope.
I talked about how last hour how we had to go to the judges and Morgan Fairchild. Then I start getting complaints about Rebel Wilson. Oh. For instance, our good friend Edwin, very faithful follower of the program.
Edwin?
I demand a bell for Rebel Wilson, Bean.
Edwin, don't have on the phone?
Don't have such a narrow definition of beauty. Free your mind, man, says Edwin. So what do we do with Rebel Wilson? She's a very pretty girl.
Free your
mind.
No
way.
And your penis.
No way. Get real.
She's a very pretty girl, but she does. Well, I'm not going to finish that sentence because I don't want to get in trouble. But you know what I'm saying. So bell or no bell?
I think the bell has to be sort of the consensus.
Uh-huh.
I think if you find larger women attractive or a really super skinny woman attractive, whatever your particular style or type is, that's on you. But I don't think the bell can represent everyone.
Okay. Well played, sir.
No bell.
Thank you. Nobel Peace Prize for her. Plus, that sitcom she was on.
Oh, it was terrible.
Boy, was that the least funny thing since Fresh Off the Boat.
So what did we decide for Morgan Fairchild then?
I don't know. I didn't look her up. I didn't.
Kevin, you looked her up.
I didn't do my due diligence.
I will tell you that for me, it's a no. Uh-huh. I would guess, however, for you, it would be a yes.
Well, I do love those women that are 60 plus.
Jeez, it's torn.
I'd say no.
It's a house torn asunder.
I'm going with no.
Okay.
Nathan Lane is 59. Morgan Fairchild, as we mentioned before, she is 65. Nathan Lane is 59. Maura Tierney is 50. Isla Fisher turns 39. We can all agree on Isla Fisher,
right? Absolutely, yes.
And Tim Heidecker from Eric and Tim. He is 39 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Here's what I love about Petros Papadakis, who's on the phone with us right now, is one minute he's screaming at us about Barry's tickets, and the next minute he's the sensitive pea talking about The Bachelor, because it's time for The Bachelor Report.
It's time. We got the big P and Garman, and they watch The Bachelor, so you don't have to, man. Girls drinking hallelujah.
Ooh.
Girls crying hallelujah.
Ooh.
Girls crazy hallelujah.
Ooh.
The Bachelor Report, we're going to give it to you. The Bachelor Report, we're going to give it to you. The Bachelor Report, we're going to give it to you.
saving our listeners 2 hours of time on a Monday night for a nice, concise 6 minutes on Tuesday morning. Hey, P, how you feeling, man?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
They're missing out.
I'm a little
out.
Under the weather, but that didn't stop me from watching The Bachelor last night and drinking heavily while doing so.
Same here, P. I'm a little under the weather as well, and I had an entire bottle of red wine while I watched the show last night.
Three Bitburger beers that they sell at Trader Joe's from Germany, and it was going to be four if the episode didn't cut off with the panic attack.
Last night, best one yet, in my opinion. How about you?
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Ralph. We're talking about really nut-cutting time now. We got 11 chicks, and they're all going psycho.
They really are. From the everything ran the gamut last night, from bizarre, like stupidity beyond you could actually comprehend, to a lack of any sort of decent human hygiene, to complete insanity.
Have you ever slept, like, Ralph, you do a lot of movie work and things of that nature,
yes.
Very accomplished in that field.
Thank you, sir.
And I work in some television.
Right.
And if I've ever slept in my makeup, you know, you wake up with a crusty, horrible, eczema, infantigoed face.
Yes.
But there's this Scientologist chick, or whatever she is, who sleeps in her makeup every night and doesn't shower.
Yeah, Britt, who is my favorite. I think she's the most beautiful of all the girls, is Britt. She is on the show. She's lovely, and she seems charming. But you're right, P, she does sleep in her makeup. They have made a point of mentioning that. And we found out last night, well, it's been a little while since she bathed in any way. Let's take a look.
You need to shower.
Yeah, that'll have to happen at some point, you know.
So Britt has not showered in weeks.
Why doesn't she shower? I don't understand.
I'm like, Chris, I want you to know how much you mean to me. I finally shaved my leg.
Chris, I'm sure, is assuming that people shower. There's no way Chris would be like, oh, yeah, I bet some of those girls don't shower. I'm into that.
Yeah, I'm into that, girls who don't shower.
I've never heard of that.
Why doesn't she shower?
I don't know.
I guess she likes to use, like, sometimes the gypsies are that way, the Romany gypsies.
Okay.
And they use special oils just to rub themselves down and instead of showering, or like hippies with patchouli.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like that. I don't know.
But she should just shower.
Well, she looks good,
I think that's some good advice.
Just run some water over your body.
She looks good, and she got in bed with him, and
they
were very close, and there was no complaining or skinning up of his face if he smelled something that was sour.
So she's the prettiest one.
I think so. I think she's stunning, but she doesn't bathe.
That's weird.
That's a deal breaker.
Yeah.
But she's nothing compared to Kelsey, guys.
Well, hold on, Kelsey, 1 minute, Pete. How about Megan, who at the beginning of the show was so excited when she found out that she was going to Santa Fe, New Mexico? Has any girl ever been more excited about going to Santa Fe?
I've never heard such blatant outward stupidity.
Let's listen to Megan's excitement.
I've never been to Santa Fe. I've never been in New Mexico, but I hear it's beautiful. It's like a beach resort place.
Ooh, this would be fun to wear on the beach.
I think that New Mexico is definitely going to be a culture shock from what I'm used to. You know, the hats, sombreros that everyone wears in Mexico. I don't know if they wear that in New Mexico. So excited. I've never been out of the country.
That's right. I love her so much.
She's never been out of the country, but she's going to Santa Fe, New Mexico.
You still haven't been out of the country, you stupid idiot.
That's awesome.
I'm terrified to think how many people in this country think that New Mexico is part of Mexico.
And she didn't even put it together that, like, there's a New England, a New York, right. A Hampshire. I mean, none of that. I mean, it still didn't register with her at the end of the show when they had her drunk in a sombrero.
Yes.
Around. I mean, they really do take advantage of these people. But these people live to be taken advantage of. And that's why we're here for you.
Originally, I hated The Bachelor and I hated The Bachelor Report. Then I started coming around on The Bachelor Report. Now I'm happy that you guys are doing The Bachelor Report. I may have to watch The Bachelor.
I'm telling you, Kevin.
Don't go that far.
Let's talk about Kelsey last night.
You know, Ralph, I have never just, because I was also not only drinking heavily, but eating heavily. I know you're shocked. last night. And I have never, I mean, it takes a lot for me to drop my fork, you know?
Right.
And I was mouth agape, fork dropped, all the chips and salsa just falling out.
So attractive.
I could not believe what came out of this girl's mouth. It was actually more disturbing, more sociopathic behavior than I've ever seen before on The Bachelor.
I agree. Maybe ever on television. This girl knew she was probably going to be
sent home last night. She wasn't not going to be given a rose.
Right.
So she went out of her way to hunt down the bachelor at his in his hotel room so that she could tell her story about how she's a widow, about how her husband died of a heart attack.
Oh. Nothing more exciting than having the opportunity to tell the man you're dating how your husband died and what happened to him and how much you love the fact that you have that story.
What?
She said that. It was so weird. I can't explain it.
I got some clips here, P. Here she is initially breaking the news to Chris the Bachelor about her husband.
He was amazing. And unfortunately, he died in May 2013.
Then she falls into his arms, and then they start making out.
What?
Immediately after the story of death.
Making out in like a creepy way, too. Not like a passionate, you're crying kind of make out where no one can control themselves in a movie. But like she was like kissing his nose all cute like after she just told him how her husband died. And she was so giddy about it.
Yes.
Wow.
Then they interview her and this is what she says.
Isn't my story amazing? It's tragic, but it's amazing. I love my story.
Dude.
What?
She thinks now the show's about her. She thinks this is her show, and she says as much. Listen to this.
I know this is a show about Chris, but this is my love story, too. This is the unfolding of somebody who's been through something so tragic, and you get to watch her pick up the pieces and grow into another person and into another relationship. And I'm so glad that, like, the first kiss is something that can be written in the storybooks. And hell yes, I'm getting a rose tonight. Stay tuned. Monday nights at 8, the love story unveiled.
It's not her show, right, guys?
No, and what she has grown into is a whole other person who's a freaking murderer or something. I mean, I know they helped it with the music and stuff, but I have never heard somebody who's dealt with some kind of tragedy like that to sit there and talk about how much they love their story and everybody needs to know. And then she started saying it in front of the girls.
Yeah, she started reveling in it.
And then she just passed out.
How do you love that story? That's a tragic story. How do you come around to you love it?
And, you know, what's he going to do? He's got to act all sympathetic because obviously it is a sad story. So he's like trying to hold her and make her feel better. And she's all sinister and evil.
He was probably thinking, I just need to get out of here alive.
It's terrifying when you hear her and you see the look in her eyes when she's talking about this. It makes you wonder, did they do an autopsy on the husband? No, I'm not kidding. It's like no one knows how he died.
You know, Ralph, I didn't want to mention it, but I did get, what did she call it? Congestive heart failure, which she was trying to say congenital heart failure.
Right.
So she couldn't even say why he died.
She said he died of heart something, congestive heart something. Like, how do you not know what your husband died of?
Wow.
He died of something you were putting in the soup.
Wow. So did she get kicked off?
And then she just passed out.
No, then she drops to her knees at the end of the episode and has a full-on panic attack. She's screaming and moaning while the EMTs are all over her taking her vitals.
Which was totally weird because she seemed totally fine and calm and collected and creepy as you heard her talking about how great her story is and all that about her husband's death.
Amazing.
And then she just passed out.
She drank from the wrong wine goblet. She was supposed to give that one to Chris. They got switched. She poisoned herself. Terrifying. Terrifying.
Do you think the budget's lower this year, Ralph, and that's why they went to New Mexico?
Instead of old Mexico? No, I think we're gonna go overseas later on in the show, I promise.
So how many women are left?
You think they'll get down to Juarez?
I think they will. They'll get down to Baja. Well, we don't know, Kevin, because they stopped it right in the middle of the storyline. So
she was mid-breakdown.
We know Carly gets a rose because they went to the Love Guru together and got naked and had sex games with a shaman. That was an interesting moment.
Okay.
And the Love Guru looked like Pete Carroll in a Betty Page wig.
That's so true. And then Whitney, she got a rose. And then Britt, the smelly one, she got a rose as well. So those three girls are safe. Everyone else is up for grabs, including Kelsey, who wants to wear the bachelor's skin as a shirt.
Wow. That just turned dark, you guys.
Yeah, it's weird.
All right, P. Well, listen, take care of that cold, man. Feel better. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next week for the Bachelor Report, all right?
The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Thank you, Ralph. It's the K Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, speaking of live music, this time tomorrow, starting at 8 o'clock, Cage the Elephant performing on the program. Incubus is going to be here on Thursday, debuting their brand new single called Absolution Calling. And Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk to a couple of Oscar-nominated songwriters, including the guy who used to be the New Radicals guy.
Ah.
Yes.
How about that?
Now he's in fog of schedule.
Anyway, that's all coming up this week at the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, we had something else planned here, but we're so captivated, and we've been talking to you off air about how much this Bachelor contestant doesn't shower, that I think we're calling an audible here. I think that's what we're going to talk about with our listeners. Bring us up to speed again on Britt, if you would, please.
Britt is, in my opinion, the most beautiful of all the contestants on this season of The Bachelor. She is always looks stunning. She is... She looks like a hot Angelina Jolie, like a young, hot Angelina Jolie.
All right. Wow.
If you can imagine Angelina Jolie if she was attractive.
Yeah.
No kidding. But she always is made up, and people started to speculate, doesn't she ever take her makeup off? And then we found out later in the show that, in fact, she does sleep in her makeup and will often put on a fresh face of makeup before she goes to bed.
What?
And in this way,
she touches up her makeup before she goes to sleep?
Yes.
What?
I guess she wants to look good at a moment's notice. And in this episode, the Bachelor shows up at 4:30 in the morning, wakes her up because they're going on a hot air balloon ride, and she gets out of bed looking, bang, just like picture perfect, outstanding.
So it does pay off to be camera ready every night when you go to bed, apparently.
But it comes out in the course of last night's episode, Carly, one of the other contestants who is friends with her, gives us some facts about her. Do we have that clip?
We do.
You need to shower.
Yeah, that'll have to happen at some point, I know.
So Britt has not showered in weeks. Why doesn't she shower? I don't understand.
I'm like, Chris, I want you to know how much you mean to me. I finally shaved my leg.
Chris, I'm sure, is assuming that people shower. There's no way Chris would be like, oh, yeah, I bet some of those girls don't shower. I'm into that.
Hasn't showered in weeks.
Don't lovely right
Britt. Hasn't showered in weeks.
Weeks. Don't we guys all assume people take showers?
We all do. But apparently people don't.
I don't understand this at all. And this is why we want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you're in the subset of people who don't shower often, like if you go several days at a time between showers, I don't understand how that feels good to a person. Like, don't you feel grimy after the first or second day? I would think
I
so.
I can't get in bed if I feel icky, dirty.
Yeah, I bet
in the not shower way. That kind of way.
Well, you feel pretty icky and dirty when you get out there, don't you? Huh? No, but I'm serious. Wouldn't you just, I mean, Underwear Boy over here, obviously he's with us on this.
He showers in between songs here at J-Rock. He's got a shower here in the studio.
I shower at least once a day and most times twice.
Like, how would you go through your day not showering for a week?
I don't understand
the upside. What possible good can come from where you go, whew, I'm so glad I didn't shower today. I feel so much better because this happened, and my being a little bit dirty actually proved to be an advantage in that situation.
It sounds like for her, she doesn't want to look unmade up. So for her,
so if she showered, she'd have to wash her makeup off?
That's what it sounds like. It's
but
too
then
much
put
work.
Put some on after
it's
you take
much,
it off.
I know, I understand, but
and it sounds like she doesn't shave her legs either because she was kidding me. It's like, yeah, I told Chris I was so, you know, he meant so much to me. I actually shaved my legs today.
So what's up
with
people?
She goes long lengths of just unwashedness. Why?
Yeah, and I mean, for a lot of us, you know, a shower is a way to start the day, too. It's a way to wake up and, you know, and feel alive and ready to work and ready to face the day. I mean, the shower, you know, has bracing qualities that I think you would miss. I just think you would feel run down and just awful if you didn't shower ever.
And, you know, there are some sort of troll-like people that we all know.
Right.
Who don't bathe probably as often as they should. But that's sort of part of their nature because they're kind of trolly.
Uh-huh.
But she's a smoking hot young girl.
Yes, that's right. That's an excellent point, Ralph. She's like a 22-year-old. I get it if you're 60 and you were raised on an Indian reservation, right?
Right.
That's your thing. But if you're a 22-year-old woman who lives in Los Angeles, isn't she the waitress?
Yes.
Like, doesn't she interact with people all the time? It seems like it would be essential for you to smell good.
Unless she's working at the Good Earth or one of those places where
maybe that's what it is.
Patchouli's all the rage.
All right. We want to hear from you if you or someone in your close circle, like Manuel, who's on the line, by the way, who has a sister who showers once a month.
Oh, come on.
Manuel, we want to talk to you up first when we return and everybody else too at 1-800-520-1067. Give us a call. You're next on K-Rock. We weren't planning on talking about this today until Ralph and Petros introduced us to Britt on last night's Bachelor, who was revealed to only shower every few weeks. Is that right, Ralph?
So far. I mean,
every few
it's
weeks
been a few weeks and she hasn't showered yet, so I'm assuming.
Hmm. And we're
maybe
asking,
longer. Could be longer.
Is that a thing? We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. I don't think I know anybody who doesn't shower at least every couple of days, but let's talk to our new friend Laura. She's in Costa Mesa. I'm so glad she's on the phone and not in the studio. Hey, Laura, what's going on?
Hey, guys. So I'm from England originally, and I think the overly clean thing is very Americanized. The rest of the world does not do it that way.
All right. So how often do you or did you shower?
Well, I can't really put a day on it because it's not like I shower every Monday. It's just when I start to feel that way. But every day I feel like, I guess, an hour after you get out of the shower is how I feel always. It doesn't feel dirty or icky. It's just kind of just how it is.
Would you say once a week?
No, I would say maybe once every 2 weeks. I only really shower when I have to wash my hair. But that being said, my hair is amazing because I don't put all those harsh chemicals in it that strip everything out.
Sure, so it's got all those natural oils in it.
Exactly, but a growth story, maybe, is I hooked up once in a 24-hour period with two different guys, and I didn't shower in between.
All right,
so. And okay. Good night.
Laura, everybody, Laura, God bless her.
No!
And you never get any complaints from people that you work with or people that you, you know, take a road trip with? Or, I mean, nobody ever says anything to you about how you smell, maybe?
Well, I put deodorant on and I spray myself with perfume, but I don't smell, and women cleanse themselves naturally, so it's not like
I got to tell you, Laura,
you
cleanse yourself naturally.
What are you, a cat?
What are you, a self-cleaning oven?
By the way, speaking of cats, this is all I can think of, and Laura, we thank you so much for calling. People who have the kitty litter box always swear that no one can smell the kitty litter box.
That's
don't
true.
They? Oh, no, my house, clean as a whistle. You can't even tell I have a cat. They Look, just don't smell it. And I wonder if that's the same case with Laura and those who don't shower.
When I was a smoker, I said, other people smell like smoke. I can't smell any smoke on my clothes or
right.
anything. I don't think I smell like it. And then you stop smoking and someone walks into an elevator who smokes. You go, oh, my God, does that smell like that?
The answer was yes.
Yeah.
Let's go to Ralph. He's on line three. He's in Los Angeles and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean
Hello,
Show.
My name is Ralph, and I
we actually have a different guy.
Oh,
different
I'm
guy
sorry.
Named Ralph.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, Ralph. What's going on, man?
Hey, Lisa, Kevin Bean.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey.
I dated a hot-ass chick. She didn't shower. She used oil. Later on, I found out she was a gypsy. She used banana peels to clean her teeth. She was against toothpaste.
What?
Yeah, it's weird.
How long did she go between showering?
She didn't shower at all, man. She
ever?
No, she used to wipe her body with oils that she ended up buying, I guess, once a day at night before she fell asleep. And the thing, odd thing about her, she had a distinct smell to her. It wasn't bad.
How long was she your girlfriend?
Distinct.
No, she wasn't my girlfriend. We dated maybe a whole month. It was interesting.
Yeah.
But she put the stink in distinct, is what you're saying.
I wouldn't put it like that, Bean, but yeah.
All right, sir.
When she started wiping down her teeth with banana peels, I think that would be the
signal, right?
That would be the thing for me. Unless she's a gibbon or a baboon, I think I'd have to get my walking papers at that point.
I feel like she needs to be on the next season of The Bachelor. All right, are you guys ready for Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner? Can we please bring Sarah from Anaheim onto the program, please?
Hey, Sarah.
Hi, I love you guys.
Hey, we love you too.
Thank you.
You're
very kind.
You're her favorite.
Thank you, Sarah.
Now what?
I would like to start off by saying I have very sensitive skin.
Uh-huh.
So water just, ever since I was younger, water just hurt me no matter what.
It can destroy skin. I know that.
When I was in high school, I just made the decision I'm not going to shower anymore. And the last time I took a shower was, I did a mud run, and it was about 3 years ago.
Three years ago.
The last time you ever took a shower?
Now, this isn't a you're not tricking us because you take a bath every day or anything like that, right?
No,
like no water for 3 years.
No, I don't. Baths are just worse showers.
You're not going in the ocean. You're not swimming in the river. You're keeping water off your skin.
Yeah, she's swimming in the Anaheim River, Bean.
I'm just saying. I'm just trying to find out if she's for reals here.
3 years.
Yeah. No. I didn't even want to.
You're forced to by people who love you.
You were in a mud run. You had to take a shower, Sarah.
Yeah, I was. There were mud that I could not get out, and so I had to break down and take a shower, and it was painful, and I hated it.
Yeah, you do cleanse certain areas, right?
Oh, definitely, and that's the reason I called is that I feel like for me it was definitely a trial and error period when I was younger, but I don't smell, and I know that is something that everybody would say, but I clean myself. You know, every day, sometimes twice a day if I'm going on a date or something, and I have holistic, non-wash shampoo that I use.
Mm-hmm. Not to be mean to you, but you smell.
She may not if she's cleaning those areas.
But if you don't shower for 3 years,
there's going to be just an earthiness that just comes
earthy.
Off of you.
But see, the thing is I think that people equate showers for cleaning themselves. I clean myself every day, you know. Sometimes
but you don't use water. So what are you sandblasting? What are you doing?
Well, I use a hand towel and I use the oils and I you know,
what's
wipe
oil
myself
thing?
Down and
that's something else. Emily, which Trader Joe's do you shop at?
I go to this place in Brea called Mother's, and they
Mother's.
Have a very
oh, because Trader Joe's is too much of the man for you.
All the oils you use, you have to be the slipperiest person ever. Someone must hug you; you must shoot right through their arms up into the ceiling.
Yeah, well, I actually my skin hasn't looked better, and you know, I decided when I was 14 I wasn't going to take a shower, and I never had a single outbreak.
How about that? Yeah. Well, look, I mean, it's working for you. You say you're clean. You say you don't smell. It doesn't sound like people complain. It sounds like you're living your life and you're working it. But it's, I mean, you got to be one in a million. That's unusual, Emily.
Well, I think that
Sarah or Sarah, whatever your name is.
What?
I said my name's Sarah.
Yeah, right.
You called me Emily.
We did. We got that. Yeah. All right. I'm glad you called. Thank you for listening. I guess keep doing what you're doing.
I got a guess, though.
Smells like donkey ass.
Oh, come on.
Right?
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
All right. Shower.
Yeah.
I think that's the message.
Don't need it. That's what we found out today. Just oils. Just slather yourself with unguents and oils.
And banana peels.
And banana peels, and you will be sexy. Dead
hippies.
Sexy.
I mean, period. Hippies.
Right?
I've been saying that my whole life.
Yes.
I've been saying it until I die. Hippies.
I don't know, man.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday morning. What's going on, dude?
Looks like Diane Sawyer has landed. The big interview with Bruce Jenner regarding his journey, his transition from male to female. They are doing the docu-series, of course, on E! But it looks like Diane Sawyer will land an interview first on ABC on 2020. They will sit down and Bruce will talk about his decision and why he's doing this and what he's been feeling. And
do you know when that is?
I have not seen a date for it yet, but I just saw a breaking story saying Diane Sawyer just landed the big-time interview, so I'll be interested to watch that.
Look, it's a difficult journey to take, but there's never been an easier time to come out with something like this than there is now.
That's
I think
true.
People are much more aware of it and much more sensitive to it than they've been at any time in history.
Jeffrey Tambor, of course, did it famously. He's been very public
living
about
as a woman
transition.
Now. That's right. I heard
as
that.
A woman,
yeah.
So
that was just a TV
that's
show.
Great for him. And,
no, I saw him in a dress with the long hair and the makeup and the whole deal.
That's a TV show. That's not real.
Well, denying it is not going to make it any easier for Mr. Tambor.
I'm saying Mr. Tambor didn't do that.
Tom Cruise is going to sacrifice his rock-hard six-pack for art. New York Post says he's going to play a character in an upcoming film called Mina, which is a story of the Medellin drug cartel and the CIA back in the 80s, and he will play a real-life character who was a pilot. A drug trafficking pilot who weighed 300 pounds. And so to become closer to his true life counterpart, Tom Cruise is going to gain a ton of weight to play this role. To which I say, that's stupid.
Because they can do that with prosthetics now, and it'd be completely convincing.
Why would you do it with prosthetics? Who knows who the pilot was for the Medellin drug cartel? Who's going to watch the movie and go, he doesn't look like that 300-pound
hey, that guy was
pilot
fatter.
Guy from the 80s who used to fly drugs, because everyone knows exactly what that guy looks like. Stop it. You're not playing old Elvis. It's not somebody everybody recognizes. It's just a character in a movie. Don't be dumb. It's ridiculous. It's not doing the biopic of President Taft.
Although that'd be great.
That would be great if I played Taft. That'd be great. You know, President Taft once got stuck in a bathtub?
I did not know that.
It's the truth. Huh. Secret Service had to come and rescue him.
Aww.
He was so fat he got stuck in the bathtub. If he hadn't bathed like some of our callers, he would have been fine. If he had just been stinky.
Slipped on out with the oil, right?
That's right.
Sarah.
Or Emily. Whatever she's going by now.
It's Sarah. Her name was always Sarah.
Sarah was on one line, and then Emily was right below her, so Bean kept calling her Emily.
That's not her
well,
name.
She should have changed her name to Emily then.
A new Gorillaz album's in the works.
All right.
Jamie Hewlett, who came up with all the cartoon designs for the virtual band, Instagrammed a sketch of Murdoch, the bass player, last week, along with a new image of the guitarist, Noodle, confirming that new Gorillaz music is on the way. Although singer Damon Albarn hasn't confirmed anything yet, but it looks like they are going back to the drawing board, no pun intended. Get that band back together. I like their music.
I did too. Fun.
And speaking of new music, I want to talk to this guy. He's my new favorite artist. His name is Ben Norton. He records under the moniker of Peculate. But he has something to say about the fact that Taylor Swift trademarked the phrase, "this sick beat," which is one of the lyrics from her huge hit album, 1989. He believes that when the rich start trademarking language that we use, it's an infringement upon our freedom of speech. The bourgeoisie, as he calls them, can't privatize everything. They've already privatized land, water, and now words. After language, they will try to privatize the air. They can try, but they will never truly own the words we use and the language that we speak. So as a protest song, he has recorded a grindcore metal song with the only lyrics, "this sick beat," the trademark phrase from Taylor Swift. That's all the lyrics are, and it is the greatest song I've ever heard, and I want to play it on a loop forever in my life. Here it is. This sick beat! Wait for it.
And it goes on for another couple of minutes.
Right. Oh, that's tight.
That is tight.
Tight. It's a hit. I'm going to buy it.
Producer Dave says that he has already put the request in for Mr. Norton, who may be joining us on tomorrow morning's show.
That would be the greatest thing ever.
Fantastic.
So I can give him a virtual high five and a hug for the good work that he's doing. And I'd rather listen to that than Shake It Off. I'd rather listen to that all day long than Shake It Off once.
Okay, agreed.
Who knows what's going to happen in the next 24 hours, Ralph, but he may be asking you for a donation for his legal defense fund.
Done.
Taylor Swift ends up suing him.
I'll donate for freedom. For the U.S. of A. We don't need the tyranny of the Taylor Swifts of the world keeping us down and buying our language.
USA!
Thank you.
USA!
Rise up!
USA!
Rise up!
USA!
Storm the castle!
There's no castle, I don't.
Taylor Swift, I'm sure she lives in a castle.
Right. At least, you're going to shake him for freedom, too, like you do.
Of course, always.
With a moat. I'm sure she has a moat. Do you know Slane Castle is an actual castle?
I've heard
what?
That.
It's the truth.
The guy on the radio said that.
I got a picture of it.
Kevin actually brought in a photograph today to prove to us that it's really a castle.
I have a picture of a castle. Look. It's a castle. I told you it's a real castle.
I did say I brought it in, and then I checked, and I didn't.
Of course not.
So that
it fell out of your pocket when you pulled out your yo-yo and your jacks.
It happened less than.
And your ball of $101 bills.
I swear, monkey
Child
time is getting
head.
Weird in here, Ralph. You have no idea.
You are a Muppet. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Morgan Fairchild, 65 years old today. Actor Nathan Lane is 59. Maura Tierney celebrates her 50th birthday. Isla Fisher, so talented and lovely. She is 39. Tim Heidecker,
of Tim and Eric fame, is 39 as well, and Rebel Wilson celebrates her 29th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Lauren Rawlinson from Simi Valley. Just won those tickets to see Hozier Friday night at the Grammy Museum, and then qualified for the trip for two to go see them in Ireland.
Cool.
Pretty cool prize.
You still got it, Ralph. Still got the drumming
still
skills,
man.
Hey, remember this song?
Love that song.
It's good, isn't it?
Listener Jorge wants to know if we can get a link to that sound.
Done.
Bean doing his cat meow so he can make it his ringtone. He would like it to be his ringtone.
That'd be weird.
Boy, you're like Michael Winslow, Bean, the way you can just reproduce those sounds with your mouth. It's uncanny.
Look, in my mind, it was going to come out sounding very different.
Is that a cat in your mind?
No, it's terrible. It's terrible, but you know how it is. Look, Ralph, maybe you don't know how it is because you're able to make any sound you want.
You can actually do it.
In my mind, I was going to make that sound, and it was going to be the thing that everybody knows and loves, but for whatever reason, it just came out weak sauce. I don't know why. I did the best I could, but I struggle.
What was your immediate thought after that? Was it nailed it, or wow, that didn't come out right?
Oh, no, I knew it was terrible.
You did, okay.
Absolutely. The second I did it, I knew it was terrible, yeah. So, anyway.
Good times.
Good times indeed. I'm sure that impressed the young model that I was talking to.
It did. I'm sure she
made fall in love with me.
What noise was that he was making? Does he have some sort of catheter that came loose?
I suspect that we had a better time with Charlotte than she had with us. That's my feeling.
Oh, that's a given.
But that's true of most guests. All right, Rob is here for one final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Saturday Night Live is celebrating its big 40th anniversary. So,
how great does that show look, by the way?
They're talking about this three-hour Saturday Night Live special.
Oh, it's just a one show?
Yeah, it's going to be a one-off on February the 15th. 3 hours, live.
Prime time.
NBC says music has always been a big part of Saturday Night Live, so they announced some of the performers that are going to be on that special. That guy?
Is he on it?
And then Paul Simon, who's been on SNL a ton of times. Justin Timberlake. Kanye West, Paul McCartney, Taylor Swift, and
I'm sorry, well, who is after Paul? You had another name after Paul. I couldn't quite hear it.
Taylor Swift.
Yay!
You know the very first musical guest on Saturday Night Live were?
I do not.
I do know this one. Hang on. It was 1975. George Carlin was the host. Is that right?
Yes.
Was it Janis Ian?
He was Janis Ian.
You're reading that.
What?
I'm not reading it. That's TV trivia. I bet Ralph knew that before
Billy Preston also.
That's right. There were two musical guests that night.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. Everyone, I have that tattooed on my ass, along with Rao. Were they a barbershop quartet? This is Janis Ian, Kevin. That's why Bean's playing.
Oh, my God. I didn't know. I wasn't going to ask, though, because the last 5 minutes, we got an entire Thanks at Info Bean segment.
I just happen to be a huge Janis Ian fan. So
that's why you have her song at the ready?
That's why I have it right here. It's one of the very few songs I have on my desktop to play at any given moment.
Right.
I love Janis Ian.
Mm-hmm.
I love her. I have a signed copy of her autobiography, too.
No! What happened to this segment? How did it go off the rails?
Well, you got into my wheelhouse, man. You brought up Janis Ian.
Let's get it back on track, shall
Please.
We?
Please.
Taylor Swift. We talked about the fact that she trademarked this phrase, this sick beat, which was just one small lyric from the Shake It Off song off her 1998 album. And she thought... 1989 album. She thought that she had to... trademark it and make money off it and keep other people from using this sick beat. And like most right-thinking Americans, it upset a guy named Ben Norton, who is an activist and also a musician. As a result, he recorded a song under the name of Peculate. And he says, screw her. She can't own speech. It's about freedom of speech. They've already privatized the land, the water, now our words. He won't stand for it, he said. And so he has released a song called This Sick Beat. It's made up entirely of the words This Sick Beat. Those are the only lyrics. And he is challenging her musically to come after him since she trademarked that phrase. And I couldn't be behind Ben Norton more. and I couldn't love this song anymore. It's an acquired taste. It's a little medley. It's got a little metal edge to it.
I love it.
But I like it. Let's play it.
I love the breakdown here.
I hope somebody's alarm just went off right there in the middle of that.
I think the people over at Lucky 13 Apparel probably play that in their office all day long since she stole Lucky 13 from them. She should have him open for her, don't you think?
That'd be pretty strong.
I should go on for it.
But that would she would have to have a sense of humor.
Be like, mommy, it hurts. Make it stop.
I'm going to need that clip from Ralph, by the way.
Today's celebrity birthday is Morgan Fairchild is 65 years old today. Nathan Lane is 59. Actress Maura Tierney is 50. Actress Isla Fisher is 39 years old. Tim Heidecker of Tim and Eric is 39. And actress Rebel Wilson is 29 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
You know how we get into arguments about the bell?
Yes.
Because it represents sort of all of us, but Bean has his unique taste.
Yes.
I think we take the bell. If Bean's the only person that likes her, that's the sound.
There we go.
The bell speaks for all of us. We will not let it be tainted.
I like it.
Let's talk about tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean show. We have Cage the Elephant performing live. Very excited about that. A brand new internet roundup. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage, and we'll continue to qualify you for K-Rock's World Tour. Destination number 4, Hosier in Slane Castle, Ireland. That's tomorrow morning on the all-new Kevin and Bean show.
What?
I don't think that works.